Good morning, everybody. Shmuel Bet, chapter 7. We've been falling a bit behind, and I would like to do a chapter today, though of course it's going to, you will see that it's a chapter that has to be understood very, very carefully. We have to study it carefully. Vayehi ki yoshav hamelech bebeito, vashem hiniach lo misaviv mikol oyevav. And it came to pass when the king lived in his house and God had given him peace all around from all of his enemies. Vayomer hamelech al Natan hanavi, the king said to Natan the prophet, Re'ena, see, anochi yoshev bebeit harazim, I'm living in a house made of cedar wood. Va'aron ha'elokim, and the ark of God, yoshev betoch ha'yiriyah, is dwelling in a temporary dwelling place made of curtains, betoch ha'yiriyah. Obviously, it's understood from what he's saying that David HaMelech is asking that he wants to build a permanent dwelling place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bet HaMikdash. We are talking now about 350 years after Jews have come into Eretz Yisrael with Yahushua. 350. Sure. And this is really the first time that somebody has been aroused or awakened to make this kind of a comment. This wish is expressed by David.
Why can't
it be
something that is
really,
I mean, what's the problem with the Mishkan?
He says, I'm living in a house, a house that is permanent, and God is in a temporary dwelling place. Shandanagarpa. Simple, he says it. He says it very... But it's more than that. There happens to be a mitzvah, one of the Tariyag mitzvot, is to build a Bet HaMikdash. If anything, the question should be asked, why did nobody else up until now think of building a Bet HaMikdash? So the question is precisely the opposite. Not why all of a sudden does David think of it, why didn't anybody think of it before? The fact is that in the very first pasuk of this perek, we already have the answer to that question, and the answer is going to be repeated in a number of ways during the course of the perek. The Gemara in the Sefer Sanhedrin says, Shalosh mitzvot nitztavu Yisrael be'et knisatam la'aretz. There were three mitzvot that Jews were commanded upon entry to Eretz Yisrael. What it means upon entry is that these are mitzvot that can only be fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael and not outside of Eretz Yisrael. The three mitzvot are Lemanot lahem melech, to appoint a king. The second is Lahachrid zaro shel Amalek, to destroy the seed of Amalek. And the third is Livnot lahem bet ha-bechirah, to build a bet ha-mikdash. These are mitzvot. The Gemara makes it very clear that these mitzvot, as they are enunciated in the Gemara, follow that specific order. There has to be king, following king the destruction of the enemies of Israel, and as the Pasuk in Torah points out, when there will be peace from the enemies all around, then comes the mitzvah, Livnot Bet HaBechirah, to build a Bet HaMikdash. David HaMelech feels that the two introductions, the two mitzvot that are to precede mitzvah number three, have already been fulfilled. The pasuk itself is saying it. Vayehi ki yoshav hamelech bebeito, as the king is in his house, that means there is a king over Israel. And as we have explained earlier, the king represented a unified Jewish people. Up until that point, who would have built it that it should be accepted by all of Israel? Where would it have been built? You needed a king. And a king who was not in Hebron, but a king who is in Yerushalayim. There is now a central authority, there is a federal government, there is a capital city to Eretz Yisrael, which is Yerushalayim. And the king is in his house, and the next word is Vashem, second half of the first pasuk, Vashem heiniach lo misavi mikol oyevav, and God had given him peace from all of his enemies around. This is a nearly precise takeoff On the psukim at the end of Parshat, Shoftim, the parsha of remember to destroy Amalek for Hoya, and it shall come to pass. B'haniach Hashem Elokecha mikol oyevecha misaviv. B'haniach Hashem Elokecha lecha. When God is going to give you peace from all of your enemies all around. Haniach misaviv oyevecha. Those are the words. Timche et zecher Amalek. Destroy Amalek. Which means you need king first. And remember, king is the one who will destroy Amalek. What was one of the first mitzvot that Shmuel was commanded after he had been anointed? Was Shmuel tells him, go and destroy Shaul. I'm doing that again, huh? All right. Shaul is anointed as king by Shmuel. Shmuel commands him to destroy Amalek. Once the destruction of Amalek takes place, so there is peace. Once there is peace, then we can have Bet HaMikdash. So therefore, the Pasuk 1 introduces it by saying, "Vayehi ki yasav amelo bebeito, v'ashem heiniach lo misaviv mikol oyevav." So we have now Mitzvah 1 and Mitzvah 2. The time comes for Mitzvah 3. So the king says to Natan HaNavi, "Here I'm living in a house of cedar wood. V'aron ha'elokim yoshev betocha yediyah, v'yom Natan al HaMelech." Here it's extremely significant, as always. What am I going to say? No. Natan is referred to as Natan, not as Navi. In the Pasuk before, the king turns to whom? The king turns to Natan ha Navi. What he wants from Natan is a prophecy. No, he wants a prophecy. Find out what is the will of God. But what's important is that Natan is going to respond not as prophet, but as Gadol B'Yisrael, as a private citizen, because he has no prophecy with regard to the matter. So therefore, it is Natan who is responding to the king. It is not Natan HaNavi. He does not have a prophecy. Whatever it is that is in your heart, go ahead and do it. Was he wrong to do that? Let's wait and see. Good question. Natan tells him, listen, great idea. Whatever is in your heart, go ahead and do it. Ki Hashem imach, because God is with you. I'll get back to this pasuk, because watch the next pasuk. The next pasuk is fascinating. Vayehi balayla hahu, and it came to pass on that night, immediately. And what we have over here is, in the pasuk, there's going to be a pause in the pasuk until we hear the words of God. Vayehi divar Hashem el Natan lemor, the words of God came to Natan saying, Leif va'amarta el avdi David, go and say to Leif va'amarta el avdi el David, say to my servant to David, Ko amar Hashem, so says God. Once we hear the words Ko amar Hashem, then we know this is a prophecy. Ha'ata tivne li bayit l'shivti, will you be the one who builds a house for me to dwell in? The Gemara over here says that it points out by Yehi balayla ahu, that night God appeared to him. So there are a number of things the Gemara says. It says that God comes to Natan and he tells him, hey, this man David is an extremely efficient person. By morning he's already going to hire workers, he's going to buy materials, and he's going to begin the construction of this Beth HaMikdash, which I am not in favor of now. You've left him with the impression, Kol Asher im Levavcha, whatever it is that is in your heart, Leich Asay, go and do it. I'll say it clearly. Do you know what God is saying to Natan? You're wrong. You made a mistake. The words of the Abarbanel is Ta'ita. You've made a mistake. And what he wants is that it should be known. Ata Natan. I'm reading the words of the Abarbanel. Ata Natan, you Natan, Ta'ita b'machshavtecha. You made a mistake. Asher domita. Because you thought, and here the Abarbanel explains what was the mistake of Natan. The mistake of Natan was that he assumed that if finally there is somebody who is the leader of the Jewish people, who has been aroused and expresses a wish of this sort, that thought must come from, that thought must come from God. And therefore this is a Ruach HaKodesh that has descended upon David. Says God to Natan, you made a mistake. Asher Domita, you thought Shahayahit Orud David Mimeni, that David was aroused to do this from me? Enokach, it's not so. Ki ani lo echbots shehu yivne habayit. I don't want that he should build the Bet HaMikdash. Now, what we're going to have to understand is why should he not build the Bet HaMikdash? And what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to look at the psukim here, and we have to look at them separate and distinct from another pasuk that appears in Divrei Hayamim toward the end of his life. David HaMelech says, God told me, Dam Larov Shafachta Milchamot Gedolot Asita Dam Larov Shafachta. You wage great wars, you spilled much blood, you shall not build a house unto me. Muslim Mepharshim, of course, understand this as, since you are a man of war, you are not the one who can build the Bet HaMikdash. This is, by the way, this is not said in the prophecy here. The first time that it appears, it will appear by David HaMelech himself saying it at the end of his life to the Jewish people. So it could be very well understood, as some of the Mepharshim say, that this was a later communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to David. This is not the communication to Natan HaNavi. And we may also have to understand what it means. On the face of it, it seems that that David is being rejected. It seems to be a rejection of David, right? That, listen, you're a man of war. Let's put it in its ugliest way. You've spilled much blood. You're a killer. You have blood on your hands. God forbid, that's not the way to understand it. I mean, I'm just saying it that way because this is the way we may understand, but that's not the way it is supposed to be understood. For example, the Abarbanel is the one who asks, and well, Shlomo is better. Shlomo is better. There is blood upon his hands also. You will read the Haftarah this week. You're going to find out that ultimately Shlomo is going to make sure that Yoav ben Tzruya is put to death. Shimi ben Gera is put to death. It's not mentioned in the Haftarah, but he's also going to do away with Adoniyahu ben Chagit. And on the contrary, the Abarbanel asks, all of those whom David waged war against, it was Mulchemet Mitzvah, it was a war of Mitzvah. What are we going to say? Are we going to say that he's called a killer, a spiller of blood? The man was defending the Jewish people, it was a Mulchemet Mitzvah. Huh? Let's see. Sir? Let's see. All that we know now is, it really doesn't say anything in the pasuk here except that God says, Ha'ata tivne li bayit, are you going to be the one who will build the house for me? It doesn't say why he's not to build the house. What is also really significant over here is, so Natan did not speak as Navi. He didn't speak as a prophet. He assumed that since there is a king in Israel, a king who has already brought the Aron HaKodesh to Yerushalayim, and if from him there comes the idea to build a Bet HaMikdash, this must obviously be something that God wishes. But it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. It's mitzvah number three. It seems that one and two have been fulfilled. God appears to him. God appearing to him means, as we've quoted the words of the Abarbanel, he made a mistake. It is possible for a great man to make a mistake. In other words, we are sometimes left with the impression, and I want you to understand me, a Gadol B'Yisrael cannot make a mistake. Now, obviously, for mere mortals like us to decide that a Gadol B'Yisrael has made a mistake is something obviously we can't do, unless of course we have another Gadol B'Yisrael who has another opinion. But we're not the ones to decide that the Gadol B'Yisrael has made a mistake. But he can make a mistake. And the idea that a Gadol B'Yisrael cannot make a mistake, it's impossible. That's not so. There is no infallibility. In Torah there's no such thing as infallibility. Here we're talking about Natan, or even when he is not functioning as prophet, is certainly one of the giants of Klal Yisrael at the time, for that matter of all time. But no, he made a mistake. And the Abavinel says that the Navi wants to make certain that we know that a mistake was made over here by Natan. Now let's hear what the prophecy is. Lech v'amarta el avdi el David. That pasuk again. It's important to note that HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to him first as Avdi. And the fact that he refers to him as Avdi, therefore should leave us with the impression that David is not being rejected in the second half of the pasuk. It always depends on how you what kind of a niggin you use. Are you going to be the one who will build my house? Ha'ata tivne bayit l'shifti. I mean, that's one word, the nuance, the niggin with which you sing it. Or it could be in a much softer way. Are you going to be the one? Watch, there's a beautiful medrash that we will learn in a moment. The Abravanel brings this medrash, and I'm quoting from the Abravanel because I identify with his approach. He brings a beautiful medrash. Medrash says the following. First of all, he brings Medrash 1. Lama balayla hahu. You see, it could simply have said that Hashem spoke to Natan. The fact that it says balayla hahu that night means that this is an immediate communication at the first possible moment, because a prophet, God usually appears to a prophet at night. Bimarot halayla. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Yaakov in last week's Sedra. Bimarot halayla. Lama balayla. Lama balayla hahu, why on that night? Amar Abchanina ba Papa, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Natan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Natan, Adam zeh she'esh lochacholo mahir hu. The person I'm sending you to is one who hurries, does things quickly. Shemo yiskor et hapoel, and this is the message I already told you, maybe he will hire workers. V'nimtzeita mafsido, then you have caused him a loss. Maher ve'emarlo, go quickly and tell him, lo atati v'ne habayit, you shall not build the house. Rav Simon, another medrash, Rav Simon said, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Natan HaNavi, ha'ish hazeh nadran hu, this man is a man who makes vows in order to be certain that he will fulfill what it is he has decided to do. Therefore, shema yomah, for all I know, maybe this man is going to say, eini ochel ve'eini shota, I'm not going to eat and I'm not going to drink until I build the house. Maher ve'merlo, hurry and tell him, lo atotib ne'abayit, you're not the one who's going to build the house. And his whole pshat, the Abravanel, bases on the following medrash in Tehillim, where the medrash says, shenema, we say it every day, mizmor shir chanukat habayit le'david. But wait a minute, was David the one who dedicated the bayit? The bayit was not built until after his death by his son Shlomo. Mizmor shir chanukat habayit le'david. L'shlomo lo ne'emar. It doesn't say mizmor shir chanukat habayit l'shlomo. L'shlomo lo ne'emar. Ella, what does it say? It says l'David. Says the medrash. Af al pi sheshlomo bincha yivne habayit. Even though it is your son Shlomo who will build the house, eino nikreit ella al shimcha. It's going to be called by your name. Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Abaloi. When Rabbi Yehuda bar Abaloi heard this, kivon sheshoma David zeh amar havei nifsalti milivnot bet hamikdash. When he heard these words, ha'ata tivneli bayit, will you bring the house? Will you build the house? He too thought that he had been rejected. Amar Yaakovish Baruch Hu, chayecha, I swear, kol hadamim asher shafachta, all the blood that you spilled, ka'ayol ukitzvi. It's like having spilled the blood of ayol utzvi, of animals. It was not an avera that you did. On the contrary, it was a mitzvah. Shenema behem, about ayol utzvi, the ram and the deer, it says, al ha'oretz tishpachenu kamayim, spilled their blood upon the earth like water. Amar David lefonav. So David said before God, Ribbono shel Olam, kein lama eini bone ota. If I'm not rejected because of the fact that I have waged wars, why can't I build the house? Amalei goliv yodua lefonai she Yisrael atidin lachato. I know the Jews are going to sin. V'ani mafig bebayit chamati v'Yisrael nitzolim. And my anger I'm going to let out against this house, and the Jewish people are going to be saved. V'imato bonei. But if you're going to build the house, this house is going to have to be a house forever. And if they're going to sin, then it is against them that I'm going to pour out my wrath. V'im ata bone harei abayit kayam ve'ino charev la'olam. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to David, mutav better, she'ofig babayit chamati ve'echar achrivenu, better that I should let my anger out against the house and destroy it, the Yisrael. Yeunit Solin, and Yisrael should be saved. What the Abarbanel is saying from this medrash is David's rejection is not a rejection of David. Not a bad sentence. It is not David as a person who is being told, you are unworthy of building the house. That's how we could have understood it when we read the passage. We could have understood it as meaning that David, you're unworthy. But we're saying two things. Number one, a pasuk that begins, Lech v'amarta el avdi el David. Just let's play with that for a few minutes. How else could it have been written? Huh? Lech v'amarta El Avdi David. El David Avdi. El David. El Avdi. Right? We got them all. Alright. So we got it all. Which means, therefore, that when the Rebbeinu's words are obviously chosen words, he wants to make it clear that this man is considered my servant. How many people are referred to as Avdi? Moshe Avdi. Go ahead, who else? Yaakov is referred to Altira Avdi Yaakov. Yoshua, Yoshua may, I'm not sure. Yes. There is also a medrash about that, like Moshe, but I'm thinking of another medrash, the other medrash where Moshe Rabbeinu asks, "Let me go into Eretz Yisrael, even like a bird." Yeah. So the Rebbeinu tells him that in time to come, I'm going to go look for Jews around the world in order to bring them back in Eretz Yisrael. If you are buried in Chutz Laretz, as I go to look for you, I'm going to pick them up along the way. That means he's going to be saving Jews by staying, by being outside of Eretz Yisrael. David, by not building the Beis HaMikdash, Am Yisrael will be nitzol, they will be saved, because God's wrath will be poured out against the house rather than against them. Which means, therefore, when we take a look at the pasuk, since the pasuk says, Lech v'amarta el avdi el David, that's the best way for the pasuk to point out that God sees David first and foremost as Avdi. And if he sees him as Avdi, then that means, therefore, he is not being rejected. If he is not being rejected, if he's not being told that he is unworthy of building the Beit HaMikdash, then we're going to have to say the words, Ha'ata tivneli bayit l'shifti, will you build a house for me to live? We're going to have to say it in such a way that it will not sound like a rejection. Yes. Yes. I read the Medrash. What is it about David that if you build it, it cannot be destroyed? What if you say it cannot? I don't know. How do you like that? I don't know. A Medrash is a Medrash is a Medrash. And you know, I shake before a medrash, and if anything, I would say that the what I use as my model is precisely what you had mentioned, Moshe. Moshe and David are the two people who are not granted their most fervent wishes. Moshe Rabbeinu's most fervent wish is to go into Eretz Yisrael. David HaMelech's most fervent wish is to build the Beit HaMikdash. Neither one of them is granted their wish. Are we to assume that both of them are rejected? Moshe's, all right. So therefore, if Moshe is not rejected, and if anything, the two of them are referred to as the trustworthy and faithful shepherds of the Jewish people, therefore, their very lives become something dedicated to the well-being of Klal Yisrael. More than that, their death and the lack of fulfillment of what it is that they personally wanted in life is something that they give up for whom? With their death, they give up what they wanted more than anything else for the people whom they led. Yes? Ah, good. Good. Just remember to ask that question about 15-20 minutes down the road. We will have to understand it in another way, and I believe that the other way is going to become apparent as we go through the rest of the perek, certainly the first part of the perek, which are the words of God, the way the Malbim, the Abarbanel, and others understand it. Let's look. Kilo yashavti bebayit limiyom ha'aloti ad b'nei Yisrael mi'mitzrayim. Remember, this is Hashem speaking through Natan to David. Kilo yashavti bebayit, I did not sit and live in a house limiyom ha'aloti ad b'nei Yisrael mi'mitzrayim v'arayom hazeh, from the day that I brought the children of Israel out of Egypt until today. Vo'eheyeh mithaleich ba'ohel u'bimishkan, and I journeyed, I went in a tent or a temporary dwelling place. Bechol asher hithalachti, bechol b'nei Yisrael, in all of the places that I went before the children of Israel, hadova dibarti et achad shivtei Yisrael, did I speak to one? And here the Mefarshim point out the word shivtei over here does not mean what we would normally expect it to mean. How would we instinctively translate it? We would translate tribes. No, it's not so. Because remember, there could never be a request of any one of the tribes to build the Beit HaMikdash, because the Beit HaMikdash has to be built by all of Israel. Hadova dibarti, did I speak to any of the Shivtei Yisrael? Now in Divrei Hayamim, this pasuk, instead of the word Shivtei, says Shoftei, judges. Shivtei over here means the judge or the ruler. Proof. What pasuk do the Mefarshim bring as proof? Pasuk in this week's Sefer, Parshat Vayechi. Lo yosur shevet mi Yehuda u'mechokek mi bein raglav. Yaakov Avinu says, the scepter of leadership, of kingdom, shall not be removed from Yehuda. So the word shevet, therefore, has two meanings. Shevet is a tribe, and shevet is the scepter with which one rules. Shivtecha u'mishamtecha heima yinachamuni. So he says, b'chol asher hithalachti b'chol b'nei Yisrael, wherever I went before the children of Israel, hadova dibarti et achad shivtei Yisrael, that I speak to any one of the rulers of Israel, asher tziviti lir'ot et ami et Yisrael leimar, whom I had commanded to be the shepherd of my people Israel, leimar, that I say to them, lama lo benitim li beit arazim, that I speak to any one of them, why did you not build for me a house of cedar? What he's really saying is the following. How has the Rebbe Shem described himself during this period of time up until David? He has described himself as the wandering God. Asher hitalachti, I have been going before the Jewish people. They have had a succession of rulers. What the Malbim says is the following. God is explaining to him that what was said in the first pasuk of this perek is not truly fulfilled. What are the two requirements before you can build a Beit HaMikdash? The two requirements are, number one, that there should be a king who rules over all of Israel. That's number one. And number two, that there should be peace from all of the enemies. He says neither one of the two has been fulfilled. And we're going to see a king over the Jewish people. At what moment does David HaMelech truly become a king? No, no, keep going. No. When his son becomes king. Shoftim they were all along. What differentiates the king from the shofet? That it goes to his child, to the next generation. At what moment will we know that David is indeed Melech over Yisrael and not another passing phenomenon in Jewish history? The moment that his son will become king. Which means, therefore, even mitzvah one, what are the three mitzvot, or the two mitzvot that must precede the construction of the Beit HaMikdash to appoint a king? But at what moment does, in other words, David becomes a king retroactively. Retroactively. He becomes a king effectively. Before that, he's not a king. Before that, he may be no more than a passing phenomenon. So there was a king.
Like Shaul.
Like Shaul. And more, not like Shaul, by Gideon. By Gideon, what did she just say? No, I'm not saying he was anointed.
No.
In other words, no. Rita, you can ask questions. We don't get upset with questions. What I am saying is the following. Of course, David is David HaMelech. But from the point of view of Klal Yisrael, of history, what indeed makes him retroactively Melech? What makes him different from all of the leaders? From what differentiates him from Moshe, Yehoshua, Otniel ben Kenaz, Gideon, Shimshon? What separates from all of that? The moment, the dynasty, the fact that it is going to go to Zar'o Acharav. Right, so I'm saying that's not enough.
But what about Shaul?
Ah.
How do we deal with him?
Simple. The appointment, and I use advisedly the word appointment, the appointment of Ish-Boshet, he was not divinely anointed. Ish-Boshet was a puppet king that was established by Avner ben Ner. Huh? Oh, sure. Shmuel is... Yeah, but then God says they will not have a king whom they want. I will be the one who anoints the king. Shaul is clearly anointed by Shmuel b'shem Hashem. And more than that, the anointment of Shaul is in a sense even stronger than that of David. Because what is it that Shmuel does when he anoints? No, he doesn't do it with Naomi, so does it in the house. He kisses him. He kisses him. The kiss of kingdom. He didn't kiss David.
In other words,
well,
only for the purpose of going to the Beit HaMikdash.
Ah, for... Yes, of course he's a king. I'm not saying that. But in terms of the total picture, a true definition of kingship by Klal Yisrael is, and for that matter the truth is, it's so by all people. What makes a king a king? The fact that the dynasty continues on to the next generation. And more than that, you're going to see right away that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell him that that kingdom will be yours forever. That's number one. And number two, the very next chapter is going to begin, chapter 8 is going to begin with the words, Vayihi acharei chen, and it came to pass after this, Vayach David et Plishtim, Vayachniem, he smote Plishtim. The next pasuk, Vayach et Moav, he smote Moav. Pasuk 3 in chapter 8, Vayach David et Hadad Ezer ben Rechov Melech Tzova. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him is, you may think that your wars are over, but your wars are not over.
which means, therefore, what were the two requirements? The two requirements before you build the Beit HaMikdash is king and peace. So completely king you're not, and peace is not. And that's what David HaMelech says at the end of his life. He tells the Jewish people that I could not build the Beit HaMikdash because I waged great wars and spilled blood. It's not the spilling of the blood. What he's saying is there was no peace in my day. That's what he's saying. He's not saying that he has been rejected because Nebuchadnezzar, he is a killer, though of course some of the Mefarshim do see it in that way, that there's something unique and special about the Beit HaMikdash, the house of peace, that it must be built by a man of peace, Shlomo, Shmo Shalom, He's Shalom, everything is peaceful about Shlomo. But it's simply to remove the idea that the David HaMelech has been rejected for wars that he waged L'Shem Hashem and for the well-being of the Jewish people. In other words, I'm not ready. Certainly not if something that I had accepted earlier in life, I'm not ready to accept now. The idea that war demoralizes. Mottens Eingerhet over here for the last 25 years, that being an occupying people is is something that will demoralize our soldiers. Unfortunately, our army has become more demoralized in the last year of Hashlugin peace than in 25 years of occupation. When soldiers understood that there is a purpose to what they're doing and that they're defending Jewish lives, when there is purpose, then there is morality, because the purpose is the morality. I'm not ready to accept the idea that what David is sort of something wrong with David's morality or David's neshama because he wages the war. The wars of Klal Yisrael, unacceptable. Yes. You're right. First of all, because he says it himself. He says it himself in Divrei Hayamim, not here. And second, I'm beginning to feel, because people don't really understand what David meant by it. You're witnessing now I did a tremendous amount of work on this, and I may give you more of the Mefarshim. I'm certainly telling you now the Malbim and the Abarbanel. I was honest about it. There are other Mefarshim who say that yes, he was a man of war, necessary war, but war is a necessary evil. The man who is to build the Beit HaMikdash should be a man of peace, and this Malbim and Abarbanel reject. And I say that I'm sort of more inclined now to see it that way, especially in view of the fact that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Natan, now he doesn't say that. That's also significant. Why is this not said clearly now to David, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to him as Avdi David? And the Medrash, if you build the house, then God will have to vent his anger against the Jewish people. Better that he should destroy his house than, God forbid, bring suffering upon his people. So you know what I'm really doing today? I'm changing the way we look at that pasuk. And the more I think about it, I believe we may not be wrong at all. Yes, I'm explaining. Do you know what he's saying in Divrei Hayamim? He's not saying it's the blood on his hands. It's saying that he historically did not fulfill the second of the two requirements. What were the two requirements? Requirement number one is mitzvah rishona. The first mitzvah is a king. The second mitzvah is that there should be peace all around. Since he had to wage many wars, there is no peace in his day. If there's no peace in his day, what makes it impossible for him to build the Beit HaMikdash is simply the requirements are not fulfilled. It's no different than if we'd say that there are no stones and there are no kablanim and there are no workers, so you can't build the Beit HaMikdash. He waged great wars, yes.
Did
David does it, it says later that David destroys Amalek. Sure, Vayach, we're going to say it. It said it earlier that he waged war against Amalek. When he was in Ziklag, he went out against Amalek. Sure, David HaMelech.
We know that somebody is going to remain. That's a much longer discussion that if I get into it now, we're not going to make a dent in this parrot, but we'll save it. We'll say that we're going to get to Amalek again. We'll save it. Let's go. Let's go. Come. We must see the psukim. We must hear what, at least what the, I wanted to finish the whole parak. At least let's hear what Hashem says.
Did you say that you guys wanted David's focus to be that was the two? That
was the two?
His job was to bring peace. That, yes. That clearly was the intent of the halacha. When the halacha originally said that the mitzvah of appointing a king and then that there be peace from all around, it means those are the necessary introductions before you build the Beit HaMikdash. Things have to come in order. Incidentally, prophetically, that order is going to happen again. Latid lavo, b'meheir v'yomeinu. There will not be a binyan Beit HaMikdash until there will be a Melech HaMashiach. And the Rambam says, Melech HaMashiach. After Ba'olu Moshiim Ba'artzil Nishpatat HaReisav, there will be Melech HaMashiach, who the Rambam says in the last chapter of the Rambam, he will wage the wars of God. Metabetz Nidchei Yisrael, he gathers in those who are left, Jews outside of Eretz Yisrael, and who Boneh HaMikdash. He's the one who builds the Mikdash. The same order is going to follow there. So Hashem says, during all of these years, I never asked anybody, I didn't ask any of the Shoftim, why didn't you build a house of Arazin? Now this is what you should say to my servant David. So says the God of hosts, I took you from the Naveh, is the dwelling place out in the field, from behind the sheep, in order to be a prince over my people Israel. Nagid, by the way, according to many of the Mephoshim, Nagid is just a little bit less than Melech. Melech, the real term Melech, means Melech with all of the trappings of Malchus. As I say, it will be when the Malchus passes to his son. And I have been with you, wherever you went, and I destroyed all of your enemies from before you. Now, here, very, very, very important. This pasuk can be read in one of two ways. Grammatically, it can be understood in one of two ways. It can be understood as past, and it can be understood as future. V'eheye imcha can be translated, I was with you, or V'eheye imcha can be understood, I will be with you. V'achrita et kol oyevecha miponecha can be understood as, I have destroyed all of your enemies before you, or I will destroy the vav hamahapech, the vav that changes of our past to future. Va'asiti lecha shem gadol, and I will make for you a great name. It could also mean I made for you a great name. Kishem hagadolim hashem. I believe that the pasuk is written this way in order that we should indeed understand it in both of those ways. I have done these things for you, but I have not completed them. They are yet to be done. If your enemies have yet to be destroyed from before you, then you have not yet completed the job of destroying the enemies. There isn't peace yet. And it is here that the Abarbanel makes a comment that I believe we have made it often in Tanakh. Why is this form used, a form that could be misunderstood or interpreted as past, when we are talking about something that's going to happen in the future? This is something you have to know for all of Tanakh. When God appears to a Navi, he already sees the future before him. God shows him the future. How will the Navi describe it afterwards? He will describe the future as something that he has already seen. So therefore, it bears the past and the future. For all of us, it's the future. But for the Navi, who has already seen the events and he is describing them, for him it is past. And therefore, this unique kind form that can bear an understanding of both past and future is used. But since it is really talking about what's going to happen in the future, so it's saying very clearly, number one, your enemies yet have to be destroyed, and number two, you yet have to become like the great Asher Ba'aretz. Who are the great Asher Ba'aretz? The Farshim usually give two pshatim. Yes, you will be one of the great men of history. The Gemara says, the Gadol Asher Ba'aretz, the great one, on the face of this earth, is Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu's greatness is expressed by the fact that in davening, in the Shemoneh Esrei, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham. You too are going to be like him. There's going to be a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen David. That's the bracha that said after, one of the brachas that said after the reading of the Haftorah. You are going to be like that great one, like Avraham Avinu. V'samti makom la'ami Yisrael, and I will make a place for my people Israel. But they are all in Eretz Yisrael right now. What does he mean? So Rashi says, Od ani chofetz la'ashkit, I want to make things even quieter for them. Sheyeh sheket v'shalev, there should be peace and tranquility at Ami for my people, b'yimei bincha, in the days of your son. In this one sentence in Rashi, Rashi is telling us everything that all of the Mefarshim pages and pages, Rashi says it in one sentence. V'samti makom la'ami li'Yisrael, I'm going to make a place for my people Israel. Od ani chofetz, I'm reading the Rashi again. Od ani chofetz, I still want to make things even more quiet, that it should be quiet and peaceful and tranquil. When? In the days of your son. Which means two things are going to happen in the days of Shlomo. Number one, listen to the following definition. Right now, David is a melech. When Shlomo is anointed, it becomes Malchus Bet David. That's the difference that takes place the moment that it becomes the house of David. That's the Malchus that we're talking about. And that's when there's going to be peace. And in his days, there will be peace. V'samti makom la'ami li'Yisrael unetativ, and I will plant him v'shachan tachtov, and he will dwell in his place v'lo yirgaz od, and he will no longer be shaken. Interestingly enough, a number of the Mefarshim learn this in this entire prophecy of Natan to David. They understand the entire prophecy on two levels. To David the individual, and to David Melech HaMashiach. Everything that is said now can apply to us in our day. I will bring Jews back to Eretz Yisrael. V'samti makom, I'm going to make a place for Ami Yisrael. Unetativ, and I will plant them in the land. I can bring for each one of these phrases, I can bring dozens of psukim, Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Treyasa, where they describe the return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael in our days. V'shacha, v'lo yirgazot, no longer will he be shaken away from his place, the wandering of the Jewish people within. V'lo yosifu b'nei av lo la'anoto, and evil people will no longer torture him. Kasher barishona, as they did at the very beginning. When will this indeed happen for all time? That will only happen b'yimot HaMashiach. So what is being said to David, the individual, is being, it can also be understood, and should also be understood, for the Jewish people as a whole. From the day that I commanded judges over my people Israel, I will give you peace, mikol ayyavecha. You still don't have peace, mikol ayyavecha. And God has told you, ki bayit yaseh lecha Hashem. And I believe this is the proof of something that I said a few minutes ago, but I pulled out of my head, and now I see that I was right. I differentiated between what? Between David and Beit David. God now tells him, God says, I'm going to make you a house first. I'm going to make you a house first. When there will be Beit David, then you will be able to build the Beit HaMikdash. Ki yimlu'u yamecha, when your days will be full, v'shachafta tavotecha, and you will also, something that is said this week, Sedra, to Yaakov, and it is in the Haftorah about David, v'yishkav David im avotav, v'shachafta et avotecha, v'akimoti et zaracha achrecha, and I will establish your seed after you, ashe yetze mimeecha, who will come from you. And I think this is also extremely important. What David is now being told is that the child who is going to be king hasn't even been born yet. Which means that we can't even begin to talk yet about a dynasty. If Shlomo would have been born, or one of the children who is going to be king had already been born, so in a sense his future is here, you know, his kavishal, his mezinical, something. But now he's being told that the child who's going to be king hasn't even been born yet, because he's going to be one asher yetzei mimecha, who will come out from your loins. V'hachinoti et mamlachto, and I will establish his kingdom. That's when it's going to be a kingdom. Hu yivne bayit lishmi, he will build a house for my name. V'chonanti et kisei mamlachto ad olam. Now we hear another thing. Not only will I establish his kingdom, but his kingdom is going to be one ad olam. Ani eheyelo la'av, I will be a father unto him, for hu yeyeli leben, and I will be a son. We're going to see that when Shlomo is born, there is another prophecy from Natan, where Natan tells David that the Rebbe Shem has given Shlomo a name. His name is Yedidya, the beloved one of God. Not only David gives Shlomo a name, God, who considers himself the father of Shlomo, gives him the name, names him Yedidya. Ani yelo la'av, I will be a father unto him, for hu yeli leben, and he will be a son. Asher b'ha'avoto. And what's most important about a father is when he will err, when he will sin. V'hochachtiv, I will admonish him. B'shevet anashim, I will punish him with the way, with the stick. You know, spare the rod, spoil the child, to shave it of men. I will punish him in the normal course of events, ubinig'ei b'nei adam, and with the plagues that come upon men. And that punishment that is going to befall him is going to be punishment that comes from a father. I am his father, he is my son. V'chazdi lo yosem yimenu, my kindness will never be removed from him, kasha hasidoti leim Shaul, as I had removed it from Shaul. This, of course, is making the Malkut Beit David, which is going to be expressed through Shlomo, making it stronger, firmer. It is forever. And the first pasuk over here is so extreme. The first word is extremely important. V'chazdi. The moment that Malkut Beit David becomes an act of God's divine loving kindness, then there is nothing that can remove it. If Malkut Beit David is something that is earned, then you can lose it. But if it's an act of God's chesed, then even if it will disappear for a period in time, it will always reappear ultimately, because it's an act of chesed. Baruch, what's the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei? V'zocher chasdei avot u'mevi goel livnei v'nehem l'ma'am shemo bi'ahava. You know what that means? That means, really, the Shmoneh Esrei, Anshei Chesed HaGdolah and Shmoneh Esrei are making an extremely important statement for our time. Is the redemption of the Jewish people something that they must earn? Is it reward? Or is it an act of kindness? If it is something that they must earn, maybe we are unworthy. But if it's an act of God's kindness, it's not something that we have to earn. Zocher chasdei avot. He remembers the kindness of Umevi Goel. He brings a redeemer of Nebenehem to their grandchildren. Leman Shemo, for his name's sake. The Ahava, with love. Yes. The act of chesed is that it continues. Can't we lose blessings that are given to us by God? Doesn't Yaakov pray when he's on his way back from the house of Laban, and he finds out that that Esav is coming toward him with 400 men. What is his prayer? Katonti mikol hachasadim. I am too small to receive all of this. He feels he's unworthy anymore. So that God, but Hashem has promised him u'shmarticha at the beginning of Parashat Vayetze. He promised him u'shmarticha bekol asher telech, that it comes from me and it's not dependent upon you. And the ultimate geula, therefore, is not something that is dependent on our being worthy. It is dependent. It's an expression of God's will. There are many proofs to this. This is a major area of hashkafa, certainly in the past century, that we not in in Tanakh we didn't talk about it much, but it is a maybe I'll find an opportunity to talk about that too, because there are a lot of sources that make it clear that the geula ha'atida or kibbutz goliot and the beginning of chalta the geula is totally unrelated to our worthiness. It is an act of God. Incidentally, that is also expressed in the pasuk a few psukim earlier. Who takes the first step? Ani eheyeh lo la'av. I will be his father. Vehu yeh li ben. It doesn't say it the other way around. In other words, as an av, as a father, I have a responsibility to him.
The chazdi lo yosem merim. My kindness will never be removed from him. Kasher hasidotim im shol. As I remove him from shol, asher hasidotim il fanecha, that I remove before you, David. The neman beitcha, your house will be trustworthy. Umamlachtecha ad olam lefanecha, and your kingdom forever before you. Kisacha yiyeh nachon ad olam, your throne will be established forever.
I mean, you can't get a more decisive and clear promise than this. There are words that are repeated over here in a way that the repetition is not tolerated in Tanakh. There's a tremendous amount of repetition. We may have to take a few of these repetitions and deal with them, but basically David is being given a promise that his family, there will be a Malchut Beit David. It will be forever. It will come into being as a result of the torch of kingdom being transferred to his son. The Haftorah, the last pasuk of this week's Haftorah is that Shlomo ruled Ephim, Vatikon Malchuto Ma'od, and his kingdom was very firmly established. Kechol Hadvarim Ha'ela, like all of these words, Ukechol HaChizoyon HaZeh, like all of this vision, came Diber Natan El David. So Natan spoke to David. If you wanted to ask the question that I wanted to ask, all right, I'll take a chance. If it's not the question, I'm not going to deal with it now.
Kechol hadvarim va'ele u'kechol hachisoyon hazeh kein diber Natan el David. Why not Natan anavi? And by the way, was that what you wanted to ask?
Say yeah. I would have said it was a good question.
Very good question. I believe you. By the way, the same question is something that you should have asked. Vayihi ba'layla ahu, vayihi dvar Hashem el Natan lemor. In other words, here he receives a prophecy, and he's not called a prophet both at the beginning and at the end. That's exactly why I think, because what has made this prophecy necessary is because Natan, commoner, non-Navi, not in his position as Navi, has told something to David. What he has to do, therefore, is correct it. What the Pesukim are telling us now, Natan, you did not act as a Navi. And therefore, this Nebuah is being given to you in order to correct the mistaken impression that you left. Therefore, in a sense, sort of his position of Navi is removed from him for this particular vision. It's highly unusual that he should be referred to after being referred to throughout in many places as Natan Navi, here at the beginning and at the end. He's referred to as Natan.
Sort of,
I didn't want to use that word, but that's precisely what I... It is, in a sense, a reprimand. Yes?
Was this prophecy being called Navi?
So the question is this a response to David's feelings, or this was the gzeira keduma, this was the gzeira that came from the moment of the bracha of Yaakov lo yosef shevet mi Yehuda? All that's happening over here is that it is being communicated to David. Remember, this is an act of chesed, this is gzeira min hashamayim. I don't believe that it is related to the fact that he wants to build the Bet HaMikdash. Even if he would not have wanted to build the Bet HaMikdash, Malchut Beit David must be.
Not the way we learn. Oh, no.
Here you got where Aleph said,
We will talk about that. All right. I'll find a way out of every pasuk you'll ask me. I'll find a way out. All right. To be continued. All right. The second half of this parak that I wanted to learn today is David's response to these great promises. It's important.